case number 4, United States versus Powell. Mr. McGowan.
May I please court again? Andrew McGowan, this time on behalf of Victor Powell. After pleading guilty, Mr. Powell's retained attorney withdrew from the case. Throughout the remaining proceedings, Mr. Powell told the district court that he did not want to represent himself. Nevertheless, he did end up representing himself at sentencing. Mr. Powell did not knowingly and intelligently waive his right to appointed counsel. Although defendants have a right to represent themselves, it's invariably a bad idea. This case is no exception. That is why, when faced with a defendant who is insisting on representing himself or otherwise complaining about appointed counsel, this court has recommended that district courts warn defendants about the disadvantages and dangers of self-representation. In this case, the district court's warnings were insufficient under the factors that this court considers. The district court simply said during one of the hearings, "I think it would be a wise decision for you to accept a lawyer to represent you."
The defendant made it clear he knew all about Ferretta, right?
All about Ferretta? Your Honor, he did cite Ferretta in a pleading right before the sentencing.
This really wasn't the usual case of a lawyer not, of a defendant not wanting a lawyer, was it? This was, the district court here was faced with somebody who was gaming the system.
Your Honor, I'm completely sympathetic to the district court's position in this case.
He had a hard situation here. This was just not a matter of, you know, fighting a moment to give the right advice or overlooking the advice. She had somebody on her hands she had to deal with.
Yes, Your Honor. And I agree entirely. I've faced the same kinds of problems when appointed in cases like this.
I'm sure you did.
And it's very difficult to represent somebody who represented themselves in the district court, and especially under these circumstances. And, in fact, one of the factors that this court considers is whether this was part of an overall strategy. And, of course, I have to agree that it was. The strategy was completely mistaken, and the district court certainly did her best to.
She called his bluff.
She did, and she also complained constantly that they were frivolous. When he tried to submit them, she would dismiss them out of hand. On the other hand, there are problems that this case presents simply because it is not like the usual case. And one of the factors that happened in this case, and this court can certainly attribute it to the defendant completely, but that he did not talk to his lawyers. The court-appointed lawyers that came to see him got stuck on the first question, which was, "Will you represent me in my third-party capacity?" So there was no discussion about the case after he pled guilty and about how to proceed at sentencing. And for that other reason, this is also very different. There's no indication that any lawyer other than the first lawyers that he had told him the dangers of self-representation. And I would also add that his performance at sentencing, although he seemed to try to toe the legal line about objections and that sort of thing, he didn't raise the UCC arguments at sentencing. I mean, it turned my stomach. It really did. This was a different kind of federal criminal case than we usually see. There was a victim, a young victim, who testified. The facts of the case were horrendous. And he just didn't seem to understand that. He was litigating his innocence at the sentencing. On the other hand, he had some good qualities. He was not educated necessarily, but he was not stupid. He was certainly misled about his trial strategy, or his strategy after he pled guilty. Certainly not by his lawyers and certainly not by the judge, but somebody was misleading him. And he was certainly taking that at face value, whereas he wasn't taking what the judge said at face value. But all these factors make this case a little different than the other cases this court has seen. However, the Frazzini case, I believe that's how it's pronounced, that this court decided a long time ago, struck me as being the most similar. And really the only difference I could see between that case and this case was that the district court didn't definitively say, "Look, you either accept this attorney or I'm not going to appoint any more." And the other thing that makes this case different is that because of his misunderstandings about his strategy, the district court could have taken the opportunity to say, look, an appointed counsel is really simple. The counsel represents you in your criminal matter. You're protected to the extent that the lawyer's representation has to be zealous and it has to be effective. And that's one of the warnings that the Feretta doesn't necessarily require, but the facts of this case, it might have helped, is all I'm suggesting. Unless there are any questions, I'd like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Ms. McGowan. Sure.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Reed Shar, and I represent the United States. The district court did not abuse its discretion determining that defendant Victor Powell knowingly and intentionally waived his right to counsel for the sentencing hearing. The district court's decision was not made in haste, but complied with this court's requirement that the defendant have a sufficient opportunity to obtain appointed counsel. As this court has repeatedly noted, so long as the district court has given the defendant sufficient opportunity to retain the assistance of appointed counsel, defendant's actions, which have the effect of depriving himself of appointed counsel, will establish a knowing and intentional waiver. In the instant case, the defendant over the course of a year was appointed two separate lawyers that he refused to accept for effectively nonsensical reasons. In particular, the defendant refused to accept any lawyer unless the lawyer would represent the defendant in the defendant's, quote, private capacity as the secured party creditor, third party intervener in this matter, entitled over property, end quote. Those were the defendant's words. The district court, again over the course of a year, repeatedly told the defendant that his condition for representation could not be met, and the defendant's options were to accept appointed counsel, retain counsel, or represent himself, but that in any event, the case was going to, in fact, proceed to sentencing. And the defendant was also advised by the district court that he should accept the services of counsel. He was not a trained lawyer, and that would be a wise decision to accept counsel. Still, the defendant was able to delay his sentencing for approximately a year by refusing to accept appointed counsel and continuing to demand counsel that would represent him in what he termed his private capacity, also at times telling the court he was a corporation. Ultimately, the district court found the defendant's efforts a transparent attempt to distract the district court from how heinous the crime was that the defendant committed. By his own actions, Your Honors, the defendant made a knowing and intentional waiver of his right to counsel, and this court should affirm the district court's sentence and its decision that the defendant knowingly and intentionally waived counsel. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
Unless the court has any questions.
All right. Thank you again to both counsel, and the court will take the case under advisement.